to have, and dragging the rest of our family along, and as Barry said, our other connections with family, but we all are, right, in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's such a wonderful thing to know, truth to know, that we can live in Christ together in that way. And that's what we're going to touch on today, is our relationships and what is most important in our lives. And Scott, can I pick on you? Is that okay? No, I was just saying, it's good to be here, and it's good to be here on time. I was emailing Scott this week just about today, and I said, I see your service starts at 9:30. Anything else I should know? And Scott said, come at 9:30. Worship's at 10:45, and I said, okay, So then I emailed him back. I just said, I'm just curious, 9:30 to 10:45, what do you do? Is it Bible study? Is it, and he said, well, it's fellowship and snacks and stuff. I said, okay, great, And then fortunately, I emailed him back. I said, well, we have other family coming. We probably won't get there till about 10, if that's okay. And then it clued him in, oh, wait a minute. I told him the wrong time, so it's good to be here on time and with all of you. Sorry, Scott. No, this is great. So, as Barry said, I grew up in Hershey, Spring Creek congregation there, which is where I was called out from into the ministry and all of that. And so, as I began in ministry, once I got to that point, Spring Creek was my first church that I actually pastored as lead pastor there. So it was a joy for us to be able to go back to home and give back to the people that helped raise me, truly family there. So, and as we planned on going and, preparing to go to Spring Creek, as my first pastorate, I'm going home. Well, this is just going to be perfect, It's just going to be wonderful, unicorn bliss and fields of flowers all the rest of our days. Why? Of course. We got there and something happened. People showed up. Messed up the whole thing. People showed up. But we are sometimes a messy people. God has made each one of us, created each one of you, wonderfully, beautifully made, gifted to serve Him, beautiful. But we're human beings too, right? We have our messes sometimes. And with all that goes on in life, as we get busy, as we get focused on so many different things, so many tasks, things to accomplish, so many different needs that I have each day, so many ways perhaps that the culture has influenced us and gets in there, right? That we can get distracted. We can get distracted from what is most important in our lives. And that's our relationships. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and our relationship with one another. So we must always and every day ask ourselves, individually, as the church, what is most important in your life? What is most important in your life? I think it's safe to say, with COVID that we've come through, still, we're not past yet. This past year and a half or whatever it's been now has reminded us, right, of our vulnerability, our frailty as human beings. As we've had to lock ourselves inside, all the restrictions that we've had, it really, really made clear how important our relationships are with one another. And this, not just through the computer or the phone, but this. What is most important in your life? Because you see, This is one of those pesky questions that you can't hide from. Because I can, you know, I ask the question and we might say, well, yeah, you know, this or that, the other thing. Well, yeah, that's most important in my life. You know, my, you know, eating healthy and exercise is most important as, you know, I start to expand out, you know, whatever it is, right? It's one of those questions you can't hide from. Because your actions, the choices you make every day, will speak to what is most important in your life. It will tell everyone around you, without speaking a word, what is most important in your life. So the question is, are there times in our lives we elevate other things above our relationships with God and with others? What are those things for you? How about for us as a church? So, I want to step into Mark this morning. I'm going to read from Mark 12, but I want to step back to Mark 11 and work our way up to this scene in Mark 12. So in Mark 11, of course, Jesus enters Jerusalem to the shouting of the crowds surrounding him, right? His triumphant entry, all their hosannas. And the next day, he goes to the temple. He sees how they have turned the temple into a business. He begins driving out all those who are buying and selling and changing money. Well, as you can guess, you know, with those who are in authority, in charge, that doesn't sit very well with the chief priests and the teachers of the law and others. So we hear and we read in Mark 11, verse 28, they ask Jesus, "By what authority are you doing this?" They start questioning Jesus' authority. You know, who gave you this authority, Jesus? You know, who made you boss? Who anointed you king? When in reality, they were just worried about protecting their own authority, right? Then we get into Mark 12, and Jesus goes right into the parable of the tenants, speaking of his rejection by the Pharisees. So in Mark 12:12, it says, "Then they looked for a way to arrest Jesus because they knew that he had spoken this parable against them." They didn't like that too much. They wanted to put an end to all this, you know. Yet, as Mark points out, they were too worried about what everyone thought about them to even do that. They were so angry with Jesus, but yet, you know, their appearance and what people, the crowds were thinking, still was what was driving them. Then Mark 12, verse 13, says they tried to catch Jesus in his words, right? They come at him with, lo and behold, we don't hear this today, a political question, right? Should we or shouldn't we pay our taxes to Caesar? And that was a loaded question, of course, for them in that time. They're just trying to catch him, trip him up. In verse 18, they tried to trap Jesus with a tough theological question. I don't hear that either today in the church, right? They come at Jesus with this whole long, convoluted question of who will be whose wife in heaven. Yet, Jesus says they still didn't understand the truth. He says, "Are you not in error because you yourselves don't know the scripture or the power of God?" All this happens in one long interaction. They question Jesus' authority. They try to arrest him, catch him in a political question, trap him theologically. And what's going on? Sounds like some of the interactions I have within the church these days. One after another, they come at Jesus, and one after another, they're put in their place by him, until finally we reach Mark 12, verse 28. The teacher of the law brings it all into focus. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? I'm hearing all this stuff that we're here debating, right? And probably important things that they're debating. Which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far off from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Of all the commandments, all this that we're debating, what's the most important thing? In the midst of all the noise, all the emotion, all the pride can imagine, here stands Jesus and the teacher of the law, not only speaking the truth, but living it out with each other in front of all this mess. What is most important? That God is one. He is our one true God, and we are to love him with all that we are and love others the same. Because we all have things we hold as important in our lives. But there is nothing more important than this great commandment. Because when we truly, truly are living into that, as Jesus says elsewhere, then everything else will follow. Even though there are many important things, there are many important things for us to know and for us to do. But we must be careful not to raise those up higher than God's command to love. Which we know, it's not just this, you know, hippie flower, feel good kind of thing, right? It's loving God with all that we are, giving our whole selves, all that we are to him, and to his purpose in Christ. When we are in love with God and are transformed by him through Jesus Christ, we want to please God. We're transformed. We love, when you love someone, truly love someone, you want to please that person. You want to do for that person. Your life is changed. As Romans says, and I don't study from the Message paraphrase, but I like how Message says this in Romans. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Keep that central in your life, in your walk with God and all this. Because we know, we see it, right? I know I certainly have many, many examples, and Shelley could name them, of when we get off focus as human beings. We know we don't do so well when we get off focus. What is most important in your life? In the life of the church? Another way to ask it is, what masters do we serve? What masters do we serve? Jesus made it quite clear that we can only serve one. And if it's not Him, then what is it? We've all seen it, again, through COVID this past year, the political mess, I'll just say it that way, that we are in, divisions, even stuff within the church, right? There's a lot going on. What masters do we serve? Is it a political party? We cannot underestimate how deeply this has influenced us as the church. I'm, sadly amazed at how much politics has gotten into the life of the church. We brethren, we don't display American flags within the sanctuary or any others because our loyalty is to God above all else, before any other thing or person. It doesn't mean that having a political affiliation is wrong, but we must always ask every day on our knees before God, whose voice are we listening to? Whose voice am I listening to? Nationalism, tribalism, ideologies, money, culture. We must be honest about where those are in our lives and in the life of the church. Maybe our master is ourself. That's an easy one. This is not a commentary on where you are as far as the whole mask or no mask debate, right? I'm not getting into that. What I'm saying is when we have conflict, serious conflict in the church over wearing masks, I had one of our pastors in the district seriously made the comment. He was not joking. He said, I can probably stand up on Sunday morning and preach heresy easier than I can talking about wearing a mask. Where does that come from? We're the church. Man. You know, or how we talk about racism, or who has all the right answers, or how we talk about maybe the new thing that God is doing with us and His church, and that C word that we don't like, some of us, changes that God maybe is doing. When we see all that, to me, it's a symptom of living out of our small selves. Just want to preserve what I want rather than living out of our true selves in Jesus Christ, who we know humbled Himself, right? Humbled Himself, walked with us all the way to the cross and gave His life so that we can be sitting here and rejoicing today in the new life He gives us. That's our example, selfless. maybe for some master we serve as an institutional church. You know, as we know, as Jesus' disciples, as they're walking by the temple with Jesus one day, they're staring at the splendor of the temple. He tells them, you know, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on one another. Everyone will be thrown down. It's from Matthew 24. It's far more than just our buildings, but keeping aware that our institution, our polity, our policies, our organizational structures, how we do church, are there to serve us, not us to serve them. Or is our Master Jesus Christ? It's amazing what we see and experience and do when Jesus Christ is truly our Master, for whom we live and give our whole selves. I mean, read through Acts. Read through Acts. There was no structure as we know it now, but the believers meeting together, shaking their meeting place with their prayers, in awe of what God was doing, boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ despite persecution. They saw every situation as an opportunity, not obstacles. We are called to see where God is in our life together, the reality of our existence in this time and place. We're called to see the relational dynamics of the world and the culture and communities and our church, to see our sin, not just our morality, not just checking off all the boxes to make sure I'm doing everything right, but in the many ways we live to protect ourselves, protect what I have, protect my position in life, my position within the church, and thereby do violence against our brothers and sisters who maybe don't stand right where we stand, or look how we look, or maybe see things a bit differently. So God shows us what His love is about through Jesus Christ. He showed us, told us, loving the world to save it, not condemn it, to save it. Showing us that our neighbor is each one of us on any given day, even that person over here I really don't want to bother with. Because as Romans tells us, Jesus came to us while we were yet sinners, while I was yet a sinner. Enemies of God, it says, to save us. He showed us what love is, walking with us all along our lives. You know, I think about it. Praise God this didn't happen, but you know, Jesus came in from perfection to our earth and experienced what this is like, and all the messiness and struggles and all the joys that there are here as well. But, you know, as he's walking along and seeing all of this, he didn't decide one day, you know, say, you know what, you really are messed up. I'm going home, you know. I'm taking, well, he didn't have any stuff, but I'm taking my robe and going home. You know, I'm done. No, praise God, Jesus didn't do that. He walked with us, still does. Walked with us all the way to the cross and died for us that we might be transformed in Him. He stuck it out, but with joy. That's our example. That is who we are called to be to one another within the church and obviously to the world. Not accepting all things as okay and good, because not all things are. right? But loving each other enough that I want to walk with you to the end because I want you to know this transformation in Christ as well. Recognizing that none of us, I haven't, none of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. Jesus healed. Jesus healed even when it meant being labeled a rule breaker. He loved even though it cost him his reputation. He spent time and talked with folks even though it embarrassed his disciples. He dined with people in their homes even though he was called a glutton and a drunkard. He forgave even though it cost him his life. He washed feet even though he was Lord of all creation. Jesus didn't force anybody to follow him, still doesn't. Doesn't make us do anything. He just loved whomever he was with. And that was the starting point. Yes, he talked about things that you know, we need to do differently. Certainly he challenged us in living how we are called to live, how God created us to live. Of course Jesus did that, but it started with that love, that acceptance of somebody, to build that relationship, that trust, so change can happen. We do it because we want to. We do it because I've been given first. I love the scene in Luke when Jesus calls Peter, James, and John as his first disciples. You know, they're regular guys, fishermen, just doing their job, finishing up first thing in the morning. And we don't know a lot of detail about those guys before they really started to follow Jesus, but you know, they worked, they lived from what was most important in their lives to that point. But then Jesus shows up and shows them who he is and what this life really is all about. And he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, you are mine and will live for my purpose. Whatever may have been most important in your life to this point, even good things, from now on, today, starting this moment, live for me, Jesus says, for Christ and him alone. Live so others, as they watch your life, and they do, would name for themselves without even have a conversation with you that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Master. Think of that. Well, it's not hard to imagine now these days with all the technology we have, and we even see people do this in bad ways. But imagine, you know, someone sets up a camera or watches your every single move from today through Saturday this week. Every single move that you make, behind closed doors, wherever you are, whatever you're saying. At the end of the week, Saturday night, they take a look. What would they say is most important in your life? What would they name? What would they name for me? So what do we do? Well, I think you said, Colleen, you're having a deacon meeting after worship. I love the deacon questions that maybe you still use. The three questions that we in the Church of the Brethren used to always share with one another before Love Feast. The time when we actually did deacon visits and in our homes and prepared for Love Feast. And it's really all about relationship. Where are we in our relationships, right? So let's ask those now. Are you still in the faith of the gospel as you declared at your baptism? How is your commitment to Christ? Where do you and I need to repent, turn back to Him, humble ourselves so that He might do His good work in us? Second, are you, as far as you know, in peace and union with the church? If not, what do you need to do today to work at that? Finally, very significant for us right now, will you still labor with the brethren, with all of us? Will you still labor with the brethren for an increase of holiness both in yourselves and others? That names the fact that none of us are perfect, have fully arrived in our walk with Christ, and it's together that we work at it for the sake of one another. As we live in the grace and truth of Jesus Christ, I'm thankful, grateful for His church, to know that His love is steadfast, even though I may waver. So much for us to do in His name. May we continue to be His faithful servants, pray without ceasing, love without conditions. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, it is so good to be here together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to know, Lord, that we are always in Your holy presence. Here, as we go about our lives, You are ever present. That Your love never wavers. Lord, that Your love is for all of us, everyone. Pray, Lord, that continue to break our hearts open to You and to one another. Lord, in the midst of all that we face and deal with on a daily basis, all the joys that we have, we're grateful, Lord, for all the good things that far outweigh the bad. And all of it, Lord, help us to stay focused, stay true to You, our walk with You. And in that, our presence to one another. Lord, see, You know, show us in our lives where we need to make those changes. Not out of guilt or checking any boxes, Lord, but because we love You. So bless us now, bless this time, be glorified in all that we do, Lord. Thank You for new beginnings. I pray Your blessing upon them as they continue to do Your good work here in this community and beyond. We lift all things to You in Jesus' name. Amen.